For then, as now, bartenders did not themselves imbibe the corrosively potent distillates in which they dealt. Nevertheless, Kinnison became intoxicated, boisterously, flagrantly, and pugnaciously so, as did his fellows. He lived scrupulously within his Doc Walloper's wages. 8 credits per week went to the company in advance for room and board. The rest he spent over the fat man's bar, or gambled away at the fat man's crooked games. For Bominger, although engaged in vaster commerce far, nevertheless allowed no scruple to interfere with his esurient rapacity. Money was money, whatever its amount or source, or however despicable its means of acquirement. The lensman knew that the games were crooked, certainly. He could see, however they were concealed, the crooked mechanisms of the wheels. He could see the crooked workings of the dealers' minds as they manipulated their crooked decks. He could read as plainly as his own the cards his crooked opponents held. But to win or to protest would have set him apart. Hence he was always destitute before payday. Then, like his fellows, he spent his spare time loafing in the same saloon, vaguely hoping for a free drink or for a stake at cards, until one of the bouncers threw him out. But in his every waking hour, working, gambling, or loafing, he studied Bominger and Bominger's various enterprises. The lensman could not pierce the fat man's thought screen, and he never could catch him without it. However, he could and did learn much. He read volume after volume of locked account books, page by page. He read secret documents, hidden in the deepest recesses of massive vaults. He listened in on conference after conference, for a thought screen, of course, does not interfere with either sight or sound. The big shot did not own, legally, the saloon, nor the ornate, almost palatial back room which was his office. Nor did he own the dance hall and boudoirs upstairs, nor the narrow, cell-like rooms in which the addicts of twice a score of different noxious drugs gave themselves over libidinously to their addictions. Nevertheless, they were his, and they were only a part of that which was his. Kinnison detected, traced, and identified agent after agent. With his sense of perception he followed passages leading to other scenes, utterly indescribable here. One comparatively short gallery, however, terminated in a different setting altogether, for there, as here and perhaps everywhere, ostentation and squalor lie almost back to back. Nalazoc's Café, the high-life hotspot of Radelick's. Downstairs, innocuous enough. Nothing rough, that is, too rough, was ever pulled there. Most of the robbery there was open and above board, plainly written upon the checks.